Greetings. Today we continue our discussion of the effects of sin on the sinner. Yesterday we spoke of the necessity of denial of reality if we refuse to see sin for what it is and respond to it as Scripture dictates. There are various ways of denying sin. It may be relabeled so that it is not acknowledged as sin at all. It may be considered a matter of sickness, of deprivation, of ignorance, or perhaps of social maladjustment at worst. Another way to deny sin is to admit the wrongness of what we did, but to refuse to take appropriate responsibility for it. When God confronted Adam about his sin in the garden, he responded, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate." He seems to want to shift blame to both Eve and God before accepting responsibility for himself. It wasn't that he didn't think what he did was wrong. He just thought somebody else was to blame. So you see, that's not a new action performed by people. Attempting to shift responsibility from oneself is a common practice. For deep down, there is often a sense of guilt which one desperately wants to eradicate, but trying to shift responsibility compounds the sin and makes repentance even more difficult. All of the excuses and explanations which we offer for our actions are signs of the depth of our sin and our unwillingness to admit it. The problem is that we begin to believe such blame shifting ourselves. We truly believe ourselves to be innocent of wrongdoing, thus giving evidence of the success of Satan's deceit in our lives. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? The hypocrites of whom Jesus often spoke probably fooled themselves before they even tried to fool others. He pointed to the ludicrous lengths to which self-deceit can go when he said in Matthew 7:3, "Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" Deceit must be a central element in unrepentant sin. If we removed all the lies and deceit and saw sin for what it is and God for who He is, we would have little choice but to confess. And confession is the only appropriate response to sin. Continued sin also contributes to decreased sensitivity to the urgings of God. As we continue to sin and to reject God's warnings and condemnations, we become less and less responsive to the promptings of conscience. Whereas there may initially be a tenderness when one does wrong, the eventual effect of sin is that we are no longer stirred by the Word and the Spirit. In time, even gross sins can be committed with no guilt, no compunction. A clear example of insensitivity to God's truth is the case of the Pharisees who, having seen Jesus' miracles and heard His teaching, attributed what was the work of the Holy Spirit to Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. Also, when we continue in unrepentant, unconfessed sin, we can't but help to become more and more self-focused and self-centered. In many ways, sin is a turning in upon oneself, which is confirmed with practice. We call attention to ourselves and to our good qualities and accomplishments and minimize our shortcomings. We seek special favors and opportunities in life, wanting an extra little edge that no one else has. We display a certain special alertness to our own wants and needs while we ignore or downgrade those of others. The current political environment is a prime example of just that. Finally, sin will inevitably result in a perpetual lack of satisfaction. It produces restlessness. There is an insatiable character associated with sinfulness. You never get enough, while thinking that just a little more will be enough. Sin is a brutal taskmaster and one to be overthrown only by the grace of God. Stop trying to work with it. Stop trying to minimize it. Instead, just confess it. That's the only route out of its dominion. As much as sin impacts the one sinning, it goes without saying that we do not sin in a vacuum. Sin profoundly impacts our relationships with other people. One of the most significant is the proliferation of competition. Since sin makes one increasingly self-centered and self-seeking, there will inevitably be conflict with others. We wish the same position, the same marriage partner, or the same piece of real estate that another person has. And when someone wins, someone else loses. Also, inability to empathize with others is a major consequence of sin. Being concerned about our personal desire, reputation, opinion, we see only our own perspective. This so clearly conflicts with Christian character, as depicted in Philippians 2, 3 through 4, where Paul wrote, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." Rejection of authority is often a social ramification of sin. If we find security in our own possessions, our own accomplishments, then any outside authority is threatening. It restricts my doing what I want to do. What is your focus as you go through your day? Doing what you want to do, or doing what God wants you to do?